Hey, what's going on, everybody? Listen to Seggy Station. It's the man that has a nickname, always allowed to say it with no shame. Friday, October 30th, Halloween Eve, 2020. Hope all is well out there, everybody. Hope everyone's staying safe. A lot of new positive cases around this country. Virus spiking, flu season right around the corner, snowing up in the New England area. A lot to get to in the world of sports today. Excited to do it with my boy, Rich Hot Takes Letty, coming through on the FaceTime. Nick Segaline here. You're listening to Seggy Station Podcast. Appreciate all of them, love and support there thus far. Follow me on my Instagram page at Seggy Station. You can also listen to and follow the pod on my Twitch stream. It's _Seggy_G. Looking forward to getting into a ton of the storylines across the NFL, college football, some NBA news to touch on with my NBA phenom. And then I got to touch on everything that happened in the World Series. It's going to be a good show today. Right now it's time for Straight Talk. Brought to you by Seggy Straight Talk microphone. It's always direct. Time to reflect. Pumped to be doing it today. Rich is here. What's good, kid? Let me get this tuned down. What's going on with you, man? How you doing?
Doing a shitload of drafting stuff for this weekend. Doing a little bit of work in between, but I've been chilling. What's good with you?
Dude, a lot going on in sports. That's what's good with me. I kind of like was going to come on, do a pod, and like I'm like, yeah, there's tons to talk about in sports. Then I wait two or three more days, and then there's like even more to talk about. That's kind of why I like doing this shit. You got to let the takes kind of fill in a little bit. Tons to get into. Before we get into anything, top Halloween candy. Shoot it. You got one choice.
This might be an unpopular one. I tend to get shit on when I say this, but probably Butterfinger for me, honestly.
Ooh, that's a good one. I like that. I'd probably have to go Reese's, but Butterfinger might be top three for me easily when it comes to Halloween candy. I like
Reese's
that.
Reese's probably
like
my that. Number two.
I like that. All right.
Snickers is up there.
There's some good ones. If you only had to choose one, you're going Butterfingers. I can respect that. Yeah. I can respect that for sure. All right. Got that out of the way. Halloween Eve. I don't know. People might be trick or treating in my joint. I'm thinking I'm leaving a bucket outside because this shit is crazy, man. And I wanted to start talking World Series and kind of what went on with that because I think that was one of the craziest stories, wildest endings. Obviously, the Dodgers win the World Series, and we're not even talking about that. It's just so 2020 and COVID. I know Chewy's not here today, and there's also a big shout out to him where the MLB owners did approve the sale of the Mets, Steve Cohen, just about an hour ago. So it's official. They're going to be getting sold to that man. I know Chewy's real hyped about that, so I had to give him a quick shout out. But I got to start with Trevor Lawrence. Because he tests positive for the virus last night. It just shocked. Like, when somebody tests positive for the virus, good luck keeping up with it, not only across the NFL, college football, whatever. But if it's somebody like him, which is also, it's just a thing, man, where I get kind of thrown off and kind of pissed off because it's a big deal, obviously. The number one player in the country on the number one team tests positive for the virus and protocol for the ACC is 10 days of isolation, so he's probably going to miss maybe two games, depending on how they do it, which might be also controversial, depending on how it all shakes out. And then you got dudes in, we talked about on my last pod, Wisconsin. And let the take play out. Their game's canceled this weekend. They got dudes that got to sit out 21 days because the Big Ten protocol is not the same. And how is that cool? How is that cool that that dude has to sit out 21 days and miss three games in an eight-game season? This dude, Trevor Lawrence, best player in the country potentially. Potential number one draft pick. Being in the news to potentially pulling an Eli Manning if the Jets have the number one pick. And then 4 or 5 days later, he tests positive for COVID. And he has some symptoms. He's not asymptomatic. And who knows how long. He might miss two games. And if Clemson loses, that shakes everything up. I was telling my brother, Coastal Carolina, it's not realistic. But number 20 in the country. I mean, anything can happen this year. COVID is crazy. You've seen it in the World Series. And I just ask you, with Trevor Lawrence testing positive, the reaction to him testing positive is obviously super high in terms of all the things I mentioned on Trevor Lawrence. Why is it not like that for all people, man? The average Joe, me and you. Like, we test positive. No one gives a fuck. Like, we're just a part of this other statistic. 90,000 new cases yesterday in one day. The cases are rampant. It depends on who it is, how it is, them releasing that they have COVID. No one really doing the stuff to stop COVID, in my opinion. They're just pushing players out in the college football rankings. And this is what you're going to have, man. Teams having a shutdown, postpone, Big Ten, Pac-12 or whatever, didn't even start their season yet. This is not going to work out, dude. The NFL will figure it out. They got COVID tests popping up all over. Giants had one. Will Hernandez. Guard. Got three different teams in one day. It's going to keep popping up in the NFL. With all these other sports being down a little bit in terms of NBA's not happening. World Series just finished up. There's not much other professional major sports happening. So it's highlighted on football. And what you're seeing when football's not being played because it's a weekly thing is positive tests all over the joint. And it's only going to be highlighted more now with these cases ramping up. I think the NFL will be straight. They'll get through it. They're going to obviously have to change schedule, postpone games. It's not going to be pretty. And obviously there's going to be players sitting out. And that's competitive advantage to other teams. That's just what it is, I guess. Same thing with Clemson. But at the same time, I'd say in the college rankings, it's not universal. So it's not fair. And then you got a situation where now, in my opinion, the college football playoff committee and what they do in picking the Final Four is already controversial and slanderish and all kinds of things you can think of that are bad, in my opinion. Now you add this into it. COVID games, different schedules, different amount of wins, win percentage, guys sitting out because of COVID. I don't understand this, dude. I don't understand how the college rankings think they're going to be able to pull this off. I'm sorry, but that was my major rant for the day. Respond to it.
I mean, I agree with most of what you said there. If they had... I mean, it's like we've talked about the other times. I don't want to say it again, but you need someone making like a overall decision for everyone. Like you can't have like, oh, well, the Pac-12's doing this and over here they're doing this. So we just got to wait this amount of time and then we'll be done here. And this guy's, it's just too many moving parts. It makes it really hard to get done. Like maybe they'll be able to get it done, but it's still a matter of like, it's not going to be a flawless, as enjoyable experience for probably the people coaching, playing, and especially the fans who are like, probably things are going to be gapped out. It's things like, well, maybe you have like the first round of the college football playoffs, then you have people test positive, then the championship's their big money grab, and they don't want like half full teams, so maybe then they got to push it back, which messes up everything. It just causes a lot of moving parts. I mean, I'm hesitant to say stuff Rich. Won't work because we've said it a few times and it seems like it keeps working. However, I think this would be the one where it might not work because there's not as much organization. There's not one like commissioner saying this is how it's going
to
be.
Let me give you this take and let me have you respond to this. God forbid, I think Clemson, they got apparently a 5-star high school recruit backup. So who knows? He might be nasty. We all know what Tua Tagovailoa was. We all know what Clemson is. This dude could be nasty. Who knows? Trevor Lawrence loses his job because this dude's unreal. Doubt that's going to happen. But say they lose this game to Boston College. It's not likely, but it's possible. And then they got a big game up against Notre Dame. If he has to sit out to that, they have a 2-loss team in Clemson. Obviously, Clemson would not be a 2-loss team if Trevor Lawrence was there. Potentially, that's the argument, if that were to happen, whatever. We don't know what this guy is. It's got to play out. But what my main argument is there's going to be teams that potentially, like Wisconsin, that is like a top 4, 5, 8 team I talked about. I don't know exactly what they're ranked, but I know they're ranked high enough where they have a shot to make the college football playoff. Their starting quarterback, their backup quarterback, and their third string, I'm pretty sure, original starter got injured. Second and third string both have COVID. So now you're talking fourth string quarterback. Like, that to me, that's ridiculous. A team that could be in the college football playoff has to throw out their fourth string starting quarterback. There's certain rules in certain conferences, like you mentioned, that are not universal, which are kind of insane. Like, one conference is you got to have, I think it's the Pac-12 that's going to start up, 53-man roster, and your entire offensive line, you have to have 7. So God forbid your offensive line gets hit a little bit with the COVID, you have 2 guys test positive, they have to cancel the game. And it's like, to me, that's insane, because you got these other teams that are just going to pull a defensive lineman over to get the game in. I've heard coaches say it on live TV. And I don't understand the disconnect where some of that's going on, some of this is going on. This is college football, I mentioned, and I told you last time on the pod. Let's think about now college basketball starting up in a month or a month and a half or whatever it is. I don't know how the fuck they think they're going to do that. That's not going to be a thing. I don't see how college basketball is going to be a thing when you see what's going on with college football right now. I just wonder how that's even going to be a thing.
You're on mute. College basketball or any basketball is just smaller staffs. I didn't know the headset muted did that. The upside for college basketball is going to be smaller staffs, smaller teams, so it's going to be easier to get in, just like the NFL season was. Now they're not going to, or excuse me, like the NBA season was. So now they're not going to be in a bubble, so it's not exactly the same, but just having less people participating just makes it easier to host it. So I'd say if college football gets through, you got to feel pretty good about college basketball, but I'm with you. I don't feel great about college football right now, so we'll see. It just helps the professional sports. They have more money, a more concentrated sense of power of one person making the decision, more money for more tests, to have additional venues, to have things get pushed back. So it's just going to be easier for any professional league. And yeah, I think it's going to be really tough for any college sport.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. I don't understand what's going to happen with college football the way it's kind of playing out right now, and how the college football committee is going to be able to justify four top teams with how things might play out. And then with that being the case, I don't see why they even should have even got this season going the way it's playing out. I don't see how people didn't see this playing out this way either. Like, it's kind of like they didn't think this was going to happen. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm the guy that's on the gloomy side, but damn, bro, like, there's a global pandemic going on. People weren't handling it the right way in certain areas of this country, and it's going to backfire, and it's going to backfire now in this area because it's going to get cold. It's flu season. And it's regardless of how people are handling it. Some people aren't handling it the right way because of obviously other reasons we talked about. Make sure you get out and fucking vote if you haven't. If you didn't do an absentee ballot, then put your damn mask on, bring your sanitizer, and get to the voting polls on Tuesday. I mean, it's going to be important, man, to do that at this point in time with what's going on in this country. And I think the more people think about it from that perspective and bring it into this aspect of where we're at in sports with this COVID virus, it is kind of wild to see. Speaking of, I do need to touch on, now I don't know if you watched the last game of the World Series, game 6 of the World Series. The Dodgers, they win their 7th in franchise history, first since 1988, 30 some odd years. And, you know, you'd expect a big celebration. Obviously, it's a big time. And obviously, you would expect that if nobody tests positive for COVID. But the report came out, I don't know, it was probably like the 7th or 8th inning that I saw it. I think the report says the MLB found about it in the 2nd inning. I do want to play this audio. I haven't had this thing ripping in a little bit. Take a listen to this, Rich.
And how they handled this, right? So they find out that the results in, I think it was the bottom of the 2nd, were inconclusive. Is this accurate? Zoom in, just making sure. And then they come back in the 8th, and they find out that he's positive, and they yank him from the game. He's been around his teammates the entire game. Batting practice, all the things they go through, their rituals, he's been around them the last couple of days. So then you yank him in the 8th, like, that's going to make the world of a difference.
They took him out of the 8th because they got the positive test.
No, I understand that, but like,
they can't leave him in.
I know. I'm just saying, though, like, how come you have to find out the results in the 8th?
Because it took that time between those 6 innings.
But don't you get it?
So, Rich, my first question to you in regards to the MLB: why is the MLB during the World Series getting tests back during the game, not before the game? Tell me that. Riddle me that.
I have no answer for that. I don't really understand that. I mean, I don't know the testing protocols in the MLB like I did with what they were doing in the NBA bubble, but are they getting tested every day in the MLB? Do you know?
They should be, but apparently not, because the tests aren't getting back in time.
Yeah.
And this is the issue that you ran into. Listen to the rest of this.
I know, but don't you see the timing? It feels like that's just, I don't know all the nuances of all the timing of the testing and how they figure it out. But I'm just saying, from the outside looking at it, it's like, man, like, you couldn't find out before the game? There's no other rapid testing that you guys couldn't find this out before the game?
Apparently not, right? Apparently not.
I guess so. 2 points here.
Apparently not? Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. This is an indictment on the MLB. This is a bad look for the MLB, the way they handled this and the way this right here, this conversation went down. Because you don't see this in the NBA. You don't see this in the NFL. You don't see them coming out and having situations like this where then players are found out on the field wearing a mask after the fact. I get it, they're celebrating a championship. But to me, this sets bad precedent for this virus to this country, because there's rules and protocols to this virus that people aren't following, and the MLB, including the Dodgers team, didn't follow. And now you're going to have people that don't think this is as serious will say, look, this guy tested positive for the virus, was out on the field, kissing his wife, masked down, like everything's cool, right? No, dude, that right there is the problem. Things like that happening is the problem. And the MLB should be ashamed to let that happen. Manfred coming out and saying like he's in isolation and that he got past security or whatever it was to get back onto the field and not doing a single thing about it. And now having to get back into a situation where this is the thing we're talking about after a World Series victory. Not the fact that Mookie Betts was unbelievable and became the first player ever to win an MVP and a World Series title with two different franchises before turning 30. How you doing? I'm 26. Damn, dude. Mookie Betts on fire. I think he should have been the MVP of this series. Talking about Blake Snell getting pulled. Kevin Cash, probably one of the worst managerial moves. Things that we should probably be talking about. Now, we're not, because this dude tested positive during the middle of the game because the MLB wasn't able to get the test back before the start of a game during a World Series, during the midst of a global pandemic, as they're trying to put it on in a bubble, I mind you. Haven't had a positive test in the MLB in about 45 days. But no, they didn't do it. They test him during the game. They pull the dude from the game during the middle of the game, Game 6 of the World Series, 2020. But then, even more 2020, Rich. Even more 2020. The dude comes out of the dugout, or wherever he was supposed to be isolating, to come out of the field with his teammates, which I can kind of understand him wanting to celebrate a championship. But what I don't get is him doing that after testing positive for COVID. And the MLB allowing that. The Dodgers team allowing that. But he's out there holding up the championship trophy, masked down. Dodgers. Dope. I'm just mind blown watching that, thinking what the MLB might be thinking. Like, I don't understand that. To me, that's a horrible look. I don't understand that at all.
Yeah, I mean, part of me even just hates talking about this stuff because it's getting so old, but it's part of the reason why we still are, because people are still doing dumb shit. I mean, there are certain aspects of it I get from his point of view. Like, people on TV giving him shit for kissing his wife. Like, I get that of, like, bro, we live together. Like, we've been kissing before I knew I had it. Like, that's the one aspect I get. And, like, people criticizing that on TV, it's like, you just want to get mad about – I'm not saying you. Like, people just want to get mad about something. The dumb part, like you were alluding to there, is, like, he did dumb things. But the problem here is more on, like, the MLB and what are you going to do about it. Because, like, you can almost not justify what he did. But like you said, you can be like, well, I get why and celebrate with your teams. And, like, Jay or whoever was saying that was just speaking right there being like, well, he's been around his team the whole time. What's getting rid of him in the eighth going to do? He was literally just with him in the first through the seventh. Like, I get those things. But at that point, you're looking at the MLB, like you said, like, how did he get back out there on national TV?
That's what I'm talking about. That's an indictment on the MLB, him being able to be testing positive during the middle of the game because you're not getting the test back until the sixth or seventh inning. That's ridiculous.
And I'm with you. I hate even talking about this stuff. I don't watch much baseball, but I watched Game 6. I mean, I'd way rather talk about pulling the pitcher, Mookie, other things like you said. But, like, unfortunately, this is a conversation point. Like, I don't know. It just sucks that they either let him back out there or he got back out there. And even after that, like, dude, just keep your mask on at least. Like, obviously, all the cameras are on you. Like, every single camera is on you, and you just tested positive for COVID. You guys just won the World Series. Just keep your mask on. Like, it's just dumb, and it's, like, it's selfish, honestly, because even though you have been around your teammates, and like I said, to an extent, it's like, well, like, I was literally just around them. What's the difference now? It's like, well, there's no guarantee you gave it to them before. How about you keep it on now when you're hugging people and talking to people? Like, I was watching people hugging him, and I was like, I don't care how close that person was to me. I'd be like, get the fuck away from me right now. Like,
literally, though.
No.
That's absolutely wild. Like, that's 2020. That's the World Series championship celebration. A dude out there with the virus, with a mask down, hugging his teammates and sitting next to his manager, who's a cancer survivor, by the way. Like,
yeah,
Dude, God forbid something happens to the Dodgers. I don't know. It's only been a couple of days. The MLB is doing an investigation on this. There's talks of them being fined, suspensions. Yeah, dude, they're not going to do anything. The MLB has already flaked on a whole freaking cheating scandal, and the dude, AJ Hinch, just got hired as the manager of the Detroit Tigers. The MLB does not care. They're trying to find a way to sweep this under the rug. But here's the problem. This cannot be swept under the rug. Like, they need to come down and do something about this, man, or it's going to set a bad precedent for this winter as this virus continues to spread, man. I'm dead serious. This is crazy.
Yeah.
Because the only reason I'm even bringing it up is because the fact that that right there is how that dude, after testing positive for the virus, in that league, the MLB, acting that way, to me, sets a bad precedent for kids going to school and playing youth sports and you and me getting back to work or whatever it is, the average person back to the office, like, oh, yeah, see, I can wear my mask down. Like, dude, that right there is why I think this is still spreading the way it is and why it is going to be super bad. Because people are just trying to act like it's not as serious as it once was. It's still just as serious. I did kind of want to touch on some of that stuff in the World Series, but I guess I'll wait for Chew. I know your time's always limited, so we'll switch into some other stuff. There's some good news in some other leagues, and I guess I'm going to touch on some of the coaching hires first in the NBA before I touch on them trying to get a season started. So I think I need to give you a little smoke here, because the other day you told me that you did not have the Nets as a top two team in the East. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
So I don't know if you saw my message earlier in the chat or not. Dan, I saw this. I was hyped as shit. I'm kind of on the money where, like, I didn't see a job for D'Antoni anymore, obviously, with these others getting filled. So I like the fact that he's getting an assistant job, because I think he brings some valuable assets to an NBA franchise as an assistant coach.
Especially to a first-time head coach that he knows well.
So here's that. There's the point right there. I knew you were going to be higher on the Nets with this hiring. I think it's tremendous for the team. I think Kyrie's numbers are going to be ridiculous this year. I before you even said anything last week, and we were talking about Stoudemire joining, and just you said it as a funny joke. They might as well bring back some of these other guys. It's like a reunion of the 2004 Suns, I believe. That's when he coached D'Antoni, coached Steve Nash, two MVPs, and also coached him when he was on the Lakers. This is perfect, bro. You got trying to, like you mentioned, getting a new coach meshed in with a new system with two superstar players in Kevin Durant and Kyrie, with an elite roster, in my opinion, surrounding them. And this is no joke, where I talked about the hiatus in the NBA, and the first thing I talked about was like, damn, can Kyrie and KD get healthy so they can knock off the Raptors in the first round? Didn't end up happening. I know you recall that conversation, but I'm high on the Nets, dude. I'm high on the Nets. I think Kyrie is going to be disgusting this year. If you're doing a fantasy basketball league, in my opinion, that's the guy you want to get. I think Brooklyn Nets are going to be the real deal and represent the Eastern Conference this season, this upcoming season. And I'll also throw this on you, Rich. I don't know if it's going to be this season they win the championship. They might. But here's the thing for you as a Knicks fan. The Knicks are so far gone from being anything what the Nets are. Like, it's not even close. And I heard your boy Max Kellerman talking about this. Not right now is your chance to kind of, like, I'm not saying give up on the Knicks, but kind of, as a New York fan, be like, all right, what's going on in Brooklyn is pretty sweet. I think I'm going to go this way, because what's going on in the other organization is not a thing.
That's so dumb. First off, anyone who's a Knicks fan, unless you are some crazy diehard Knicks fan, has had to accept some love for other teams, because that's the only way to survive as a basketball fan, as a Knicks fan. You got to have some teams to root for, because the Knicks aren't usually it. However, it will absolutely never be the Nets for me. And I also want to be clear, I'm not just saying this because I like hate on the Nets. I don't like the Nets, like, being a Knicks fan, but, like, it's not like I hate them more than any other team, but I just don't. I like the D'Antoni hire. I think that helps a first-time head coach, especially someone Nash has a relationship with, a head coach that you know. I mean, like, because if it's Amari, I'm sure they have other assistant coaches, I don't know. But if it's, like, Amari, Steve Nash, and some no-name guys, they might be guys that those players respect.
but they might not necessarily respect their coaching knowledge when they're making questionable decisions. Like, say what you want about Mike D'Antoni, but in the last 10 years, I think he has the best coaching record behind, like, Brad Stevens and Steve Kerr, like something, and Greg Popovich, who was fourth. So, like, he's been one of the best coaches in the NBA. So you got to respect him as a coach. My thing with the Nets is simply Kyrie can't seem to stay healthy, and Kevin Durant is coming off of a career-altering injury. So I'm not going to come in and expect them, like, there's zero chance I'm going to tell you they'll be better than the Bucks. They might beat the Bucks in the playoffs if they meet up because of, like, what we've seen happen to the Bucks, but there is zero chance I think they have a better record than the Bucks in the regular season. And then it comes down to there's a lot of good teams, but Heat, who just went to the finals, Celtics and Raptors, I wouldn't be surprised to see all three with a better record. The Sixers are in there. Like, the Nets will, I think, will make noise next year, and probably in the playoffs, they'll absolutely make the playoffs.
But you got them fifth in the East.
I'm just listing teams could be better than them. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm saying they won't beat, I don't think they'll beat all of those teams. Like, the Bucks will 100% be ahead of them. I'll say that now. There's no way the Bucks take a huge step backwards next season unless they, like, trade Giannis midseason, which I don't think is happening. And the Raptors are, unless the Raptors decide to tear things up, I see the Raptors as a team that's going to go out there and win 55-plus games. And the Nets just won't be
in able. 72-game season?
Yeah, true. I was just taking that back. It's not an all-82 game season. I don't know the games to predict for wins then. But
yeah, we'll get into that at a different time. But, like,
what I'm mainly saying is I don't see the Nets. They're going to have to give KD some rest nights. Kyrie has not been consistently healthy. They have two big men as two of their top players right now in DeAndre Jordan and Jared Allen. Are they going to run that? Is that going to be Steve Nash and D'Antoni's thing to run those guys? Are they going to trade off Jared Allen? Like, there's a lot to figure out with the Nets. I'll say right now, if the Nets trade for a Bradley Beal or, like, Buddy Hield or, like, a – I know there's a big gap between those two, but, like, a good shooter, like, you could trust as your third guy on the team, maybe, that maybe would change things a little bit for me. But right now, I don't see them as a top two seed in the East.
Wow. You're maintaining on that take. I was surprised that
– But it's a regular season take. I'm not saying they couldn't come out of the East.
I think they'll be better in the regular season than you're giving them credit for too. If Kyrie can stay healthy, obviously that's a main thing for that. I do got some other smoke for you in this. Are the Rockets blowing it up, dude? The higher, I'm not sure if the higher to me insists that they're blowing it up, but the higher to me is a little bit questionable. Like, here's the knock on the Houston Rockets, James Harden, Russell Westbrook. They can't win a championship. Is hiring Steven Silas, Mavs assistant, under a phenomenal coach in Rick Carlisle. Maybe he's great. Maybe he's really good for Harden and Westbrook and what the Rockets want to do. After they get rid of Daryl Morey a few days earlier, you know, the take for me is, damn, something's about to change drastically in Houston. And it looks like in the coach they're hiring, they're more setting up for not a win-now situation, but more of a long-term thing where if he's good, they might be a little better long-term, but not particularly this season, where, in my opinion, that's not what James Harden should want. James Harden has been knocked on not being able to win a championship. Russell Westbrook, not as much as talked about as that, but on a knock where he can't really compete in the playoffs and win a championship. You're going to go hire a first-time head coach coming off a bench of an all-time great head coach. You don't know what you're going to get. And in my opinion, this sets up for what could be a blow-up for the Houston Rockets after getting rid of Daryl Morey and all the situation going on. What's going on with the Rockets, bro?
No, they're not blowing it up. It could be a coach where if down the line, like 2-3 years down the line, they blow it up, I see him as a coach that could still be their coach either way. So I like the hire. So Russell Westbrook and James Harden both okayed this hire. Like, they were – I forget who confirmed that, but Woes or someone confirmed that, or Kevin O'Connor at the Ringer. But they basically okayed this hire. Both of them really like him. Luka credits him to, like, his huge leap of success the last year. He's been in the NBA for, what is it, going back to 2000?
Yeah, wow.
And honestly, I heard a few people talking about him, and what it sounds like is the main reason he hasn't gotten a coaching job is because he's just been the assistant on some bad teams, but he's been credit with helping the development of some young players. Or some really good players when they were young. Like, not that he helped LeBron develop, but he was an assistant on the early Cavs team.
But who are they trying to develop on the Rockets, man?
No, not developing. He's been tasked as, I'm saying he's developed teams in the past, developed players. And I think what they're trying to do is bring in a skilled coach who has maybe a different scheme a little bit. And he's an offensive juggernaut with coach. That's what a lot of people have said about him. So it sounds like he's going to be able to probably keep the style that the Rockets do well, but they're 100% going to make changes to it. They're not going to just run. I think he'll probably make some changes. Won't be as laissez-faire, like not care as D'Antoni about Harden running ISO ball. This is just guessing. But he's a well-respected guy. Luka and Russ and Harden both okayed it. Luka credits him with a lot of success. He's been assistant coach for the last almost 18 years now. I like the hire.
So you're buying in. So you're buying in on this still being a hire in terms of win now mode. Like they're going to compete 100%. This year and be decent.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, I just don't think they have a choice. They really don't have a choice. They don't have any draft picks. You're not getting anything back for Russell Westbrook because you'd have to get – you're getting something back, but you're not getting equal value back for Russell Westbrook because of his contract. Even though Russ is a great player, teams aren't going to give you an equal piece to Russ because of his contract. So James Harden's the only piece you're getting value for, but I don't think they're going to blow it up and trade James Harden. That would be a blow for the Rockets. Like they could. I know a lot of people have talked about James Harden to the Sixers after this, after Mike D'Antoni signing there as an assistant, after Daryl Morey signing there as in the front office. But I think the Rockets run it back. I just don't think they have any options. If you trade James Harden, you're probably still stuck with Russ on your team and like whatever you get back for James Harden. And then you probably have to unload a pick or some stuff to get rid of Russ. And it would just be a weird rebuild. I think they're going to try and make it work for another year or two.
Yeah, dude. See, I'm not sure I'm going to say they're going to blow it up.
I'm not saying they're going to win a ring or anything, but I think they're going to try and make it work.
To me, this doesn't seem like a win now mode to me and move. And it just seems like they're kind of searching. And maybe this guy could be great. And maybe he could develop players and all the things you talked about. But roster that they have, they should be hiring a coach that they should be trying to win now mode than a little more than a guy in Steven Silas.
I guess I'd ask you, who's that then? Because there aren't like all these great coaches out there that aren't employed. Like Mike D'Antoni's a pretty good coach. It's hard to find a coach that does what Mike D'Antoni does better.
I think Kenny Atkinson is getting slept on, bro. You brought him up on pod before.
I would have hired him too.
I don't know what the deal is. Even like a Jeff Van Gundy, Mark Jackson. I think some of these guys that have, I mean, you see Stan Van Gundy getting a job, bro. Not being in it like for a couple years, like what's the knock then on those guys? Like, I don't know. And I get it. Maybe I think this guy could be good. I think this guy could be good. I think the Mavs have a great coaching organization. I think the Mavs have a lot of solid things going on. So this guy could be great. But I think it's more of a risk than a reward when you don't really know what might happen. And I think that right there is kind of a slight towards they don't really know what's going to happen this season. I guess we'll have to wait and see. You did say something about Daryl Morey. I'll let you respond to that. After we get into that, I did want to talk about the Sixers and what they're doing. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I just like it because I feel like he's a young coach where I'm not going to pretend to know more about him than I do. Like, I don't know how much impact he has on the game plan as an assistant coach on all these teams for the last 18 years. But if Luka supports him, Pat players support him, Russ and Harden both gave him the okay. I'll trust them more than anything else. And I think he's a good coach in terms of getting some fresh blood in there where if maybe things don't work out with Russ and Harden, I think you still feel okay keeping him around for the next wave of your rebuild rather than like if you hired Mark Jackson right now and you decide to blow it up in a year, you'd probably have to fire Mark Jackson in a year and bring in another new coach or something. So like, I think this is like the safe option of like, he's a good coach, a respected coach. Like he can play with our team now, keep a D'Antoni style while changing it. And also if we have to blow it up, we could still rebuild around him as our coach.
No, I agree. That's a good take on it. I just think the Rockets could potentially be showing us a little something without actually saying it. Here's another thing. So Sam Cassell, he's joining Doc Rivers' staff. Obviously, Doc Rivers goes to the 76ers after leaving the LA Clippers. Ty Lue gets a job in LA. Think that's a really good hire for them. We'll see how it shakes out in LA. But I'm not so sure how I feel about Doc going to the Clippers. And I'm also not so sure how I feel about Daryl Morey heading to the Clippers organization as well. I know you were a little bit high on it because of it getting a little bit of power away from Alan Brand, and he hasn't been spectacular at all, no doubt about it. But what I would say is Doc Rivers did bring in this other guy. I saw Duke throw it in the chat today, this guy that has the kind of this beef going on with Joel Embiid, and Joel Embiid definitely recognizes it. And not that I'm saying that's going to matter as much. What I am saying is kind of like the rebuild going for the Sixers right now was always kind of on, oh, Brett Brown. And now you bring in Doc Rivers. We've talked about on the pod. He blew a 3-1 lead with the Clippers. He's the only coach to do that. I believe it was three times in NBA history. The knock on him is really not getting through. And he won one championship with the Celtics. But how much does it have to do with him being that phenomenal NBA coach in the playoffs? The Sixers are this other team, in my opinion, that it's like, yo, you're in win now mode, right? You're trying to win a championship right now. Like, that's the knock on your players. They can't win a championship. So, okay, Doc Rivers seems to be a guy that you bring in and can potentially help that. Maybe. If not, I think it falls really hard. I think it's what we just talked about with Steven Silas. That the argument is not that. Like, if they don't do well in a year or two, it's like, damn, is Doc the right guy? And if Daryl Morey comes in there and starts messing around and doing certain things and it doesn't work, damn, should we? You know what I'm saying? So I think this is a much more like they need to do, the Sixers, that is, need to do really well this season to have this stuff play off, even though it's obviously getting used to a new system. Do you agree with that take or no?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think I guess I am a bigger Rockets fan than I thought, because I just like all the Rockets pieces. I like the Morey hire, bringing on Morey even more than I like the Doc hire. Because I agree with you on Doc. I think it's risky. Doc's career, if you take out 2008 and just look at the rest of his career and take out that 1 year, you're looking at it and you're going like, so he's had really good teams and kind of underperformed with them?
Yeah.
Like, I like Doc as a coach. There's something to be said. And like, I don't want to bash him too hard, because it's like knocking LeBron for getting to the finals. It's like, well, he got to the finals. It's like, well, Doc like gets his team some conference finals, yep, got the Celtics to some other finals and lost. I don't want to knock him too hard.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, he tends to get out coached by a coach who has a similar talented team than him. And he'll blow leads by a coach that maybe has a less talented team than him. He blew a lead to the 2015 Rockets with James Harden on the bench, a 25-point lead. James Harden was playing so bad he couldn't get in the game, and Josh Smith destroyed the Clippers. Josh Smith wasn't on a team like 4 months before that, and the Rockets picked him up, and he destroyed the Clippers. And the Clippers blew their shot at a chance to the conference finals. Like, part of that's on the players. Like, it's like when the Rockets went 0-27 from three and should have made it to the finals. Like, you can't just look at the coach and be like, dude, what the fuck? Because the coach is going to be like, they missed every shot. But at the same time, if your dudes are missing every shot or blowing a lead to Josh Smith, like, call a fucking timeout and draw up a play. Do something about it. You cannot let Josh. So, like, I mean, that's a side tangent, because that's pathetic that Josh Smith beat them. But my point being on Doc, it's a questionable hire. For Daryl Morey, I love it, because I saw a bunch of people saying online, like, oh, he's gonna trade Ben Simmons. He wants his team to shoot threes. And like, that's really not it at all. People mistake analytics with like only shooting threes, which is not what analytics is. Analytics is taking the most efficient shot on the court, which is different for every team and every player. Ben Simmons assists on more threes than anyone else in the league and makes a higher percentage of twos than any guard in the league. Like, Ben Simmons is probably Daryl Morey's, like, one of Daryl Morey's dreams players. He's just a very opposite player from Harden in the sense that he can't shoot. So I think Daryl Morey will like Ben Simmons a lot. I don't think they trade either one, but I think if someone were going to be traded, it would probably be Embiid before Ben Simmons, in my opinion.
Yeah, we've talked about that before. We'll have to save that for another day, because I did have another conversation in the NBA that I wanted to touch on before I get maybe a few of your picks in the NFL before I get you out of here. So the conversation that I saw a lot surrounding the NBA is, you know, when they're going to start. You know, the draft's coming up in a couple weeks, free agency right after that, and then it's, you know, when are they going to start? And NBA revenue is down 10%, $8.3 billion. Without fans, this upcoming season could be down 40%. You know, they say gate receipts were at $800 million, and the whole thing that happened with Daryl Morey in China accounts to $200 million in losses. So there was a lot of losses this season, obviously, for the NBA. Obviously, there's going to be losses for the NFL, and we I heard some announcements on how much the MLB lost. So yeah, there's going to be losses in sports. Obviously, there's no fans in the stand. But here's my thing with the start of the season, Rich. And not that I don't want the NBA back, but if they're talking about starting this, you know, training camp December 1st, first games December 22nd, and that'd be a really quick turnaround for the Lakers, even the teams that were in the conference finals, to be, what, a month and a half, 2 months out. Reconstructing the rosters, free agency draft, getting everything together training camp-wise, off-season. I mean, that's really condensed, dude. And I get your whole thing about them having games on Christmas. I couldn't agree with you more because, of course, we're going to watch NBA on Christmas. But I think that's potentially setting the NBA up for a bad trend with what could be going on with the virus during that time as well, because that's not too far away either, man. And things, in my opinion, aren't going to clear up in just a month. Like, we're not just going to snap our fingers and be straight. So the NBA is going to be starting up at a really difficult time. Also, in my opinion, them talking about not being in a bubble. The knock, and you hear Danny Green saying, like, bro, LeBron's not going to be there for the first month. Malcolm Brogdon, who's the vice president of the Players Association, he's saying, man, we want to start on, most of the players, a lot of these players want to start on Martin Luther King Day. So, I don't know. It comes across as, oh, well, you know, they make all this money and have all this nice stuff. They should be out there. You know, why do they have so much more time off? It's like, dude, what? Like, I don't understand why they would want to rush things back. The NBA was the ones that were kind of proactive about this in the first place. You got things done relatively, really safe and good, in my opinion, in terms of the way everything played out. Why rush things back if you want fans in your stands? Because there's going to be no fans in your stands on December 22nd. I know that.
We went over it a little last time, though. A lot of it's the Olympics. They got to figure out a way to be done by the Olympics, because these guys, a lot of people want to participate in the Olympics. A lot of money's made off the Olympics, too. So I think we went over it last time. I don't want to do it again, but just the normal time a regular season takes, like, it'd be almost impossible, even if it's 10 less games, 72 games, it'd be impossible, basically, to do a season from January to be done in June. Normally, it's only 10 more games, and it starts, like, 3 months earlier in October. So, like, I don't see how they could do a season that quick. It's going to be tough to do it even if they start December 25th. I think that's what the NBA is probably saying. And I've seen, like, Stephen A. argue it a few times, and he's harsh with it, but he's, like, goes at the players with this. Like, yo, do you guys not understand, like, business and how this works? Like, we're sorry you just played. But, like, there's no way around this. And, like, he takes a harsh angle at it, but I kind of agree with him on it. It's like, if you got to sit out, if you're someone like LeBron, that sucks. Like, I don't blame you if you want to sit out. You were just going crazy. But, like, some of these teams haven't played basketball in so long, and it's going to be so hard to even fit a regular season in. Like, I'm sorry if you played a few months ago, take some games off, but, like, this is what we have to do. Like, no one in the world is living their, like, ideal life of, like, oh, I just want to do things like normal. Like, it's kind of like, sorry, guys. Like, I wouldn't blame LeBron at all. Like, he just busted his ass. But, like, guys like Danny Green were bitching, like, dude, you played 20 minutes a game. Shut the fuck up. Like, I don't know. I don't feel that bad about it.
Okay, so you're saying let's crank the NBA season back up, get it going. Like,
I don't think there's a choice. I'm in a perfect world. Like, sure, yes, they probably deserve more time off. But, like, the Olympics starts up in what, like, July? They need to be done before June. That's when a normal NBA season.
But here's my thing on the Olympics, bro. And I know they come out and say that it's happening regardless of COVID or not. But is it? Like, is it going down?
That's a fair point. That's a fair point.
Like, is that what the NBA is worried about? Like, having their players in the Olympics? Is that actually going to be a fucking thing? Are you sure the country, wherever it's at, Tokyo, I believe, isn't going to flake and be like, yeah, we can't have it? Like, why are they worried about that?
But it's okay. So it's also a few other things, too. They also want, like we said last time, they want the revenue from Christmas Day games. Christmas Day and New Year's Day, or no, New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. One of them, NBA usually has a lot of games. It's two of their big money days. They definitely want the games those days. They want the teams to start earlier that have been off forever. And honestly, a lot of it is the Olympics. It's a big revenue generator for all countries around the world. Like, you want to take place in that.
We'll see, man. I think when you're going to have reports that a lot more players than just LeBron and Malcolm Brogdon and all these players coming out and saying, hey, man, what is the rush here? Like, is that really what we got? It's not going to be in a bubble. So we want to just kind of rush back in. I get it. There's a lot of teams that have been playing a lot. I understand that. But we can start up a month at, when's Martin Luther King Day? Like February, January, do we know off the top of the So it's like, it's not like they're asking for too much more time. Like, if the main argument here to start up is revenue on Christmas Day and the Olympics, here's the thing, man. Revenues are going to be down. I just told you. They're down $8.3 billion this year. They're going to be down another 40% without fans if they can't get any in there. They're going to be down no matter what.
One thing I was going to say about that, and it's a great, like, one way to think about that is you're right, $8.3 billion down for the NBA, but that's only 10% of their revenue. For the NBA to only lose 10% of their revenue after canceling 70 total games, not allowing a single fan to pay a ticket for a playoff game or any of those games during a pandemic, like 10%, it's still $8.3 billion and it sounds a lot like that, but 10% in the grand scheme of things is not bad. Like, they handled that situation extremely well.
I'm not saying they didn't, but that's, I'm just saying that's how they, I show you how much money they make, how well they did with the organization of their bubble and getting their season going and getting their championship in and their playoff format. Now all of a sudden they just want to get back things going like that. No bubble. Like, they haven't even the draft yet, dude. Like, I know that's going to be the talk about when we're getting the season going, but can we have the draft, free agency before we kind of talk about this shit going?
The other big thing that we didn't even touch on yet, and honestly maybe bigger than any of the other things I've said, is they're trying to get the season back on a normal schedule. They're trying to not compete with the NFL ever again. They want to be done by June in normal time so they can start the next season at kind of a normal time. And there's also been talks about them potentially, if they could start up on Christmas Day, that maybe trying to be when they start seasons going forward and sort of change the calendar a little bit. So I'm sure there's some plans they have in mind that like aren't totally public and out there in the open. But I think in the grand scheme of things, it's we need to start things as soon as possible, not compete with football going forward, be done before the Olympics, just check all the boxes and try and be safe. But I will say, I'm not saying that's not what I think will happen. Enough of the players seem to be being vocal about it, where I'm assuming the NBA probably will cave. And it will end up being January 18th, Martin Luther King Day, because, like, games on Christmas Day would be great, but, like, no one wants to see Lakers-Clippers on Christmas Day with no, like, AD, LeBron, Kawhi, Paul, like, no one, none of the players there. Like, that would suck.
Yeah, but that's what I heard, too, is that they would just, the NBA, we've seen them do this, basically mandate that those players play. So, yeah, they can sit out and load manage other games, but on Christmas Day, they're going to make the guys play. And, that like, what do you, like, if you're LeBron James, and you're going to have to play on Christmas Day, and like, the knock, it just puts them in a tough spot, man. Like, if you're LeBron James, you don't want to sit out on Christmas Day if the NBA is having a format. So it's like,
I agree. It probably won't start till Martin Luther King Day. I'm just saying, I see the reasons for why the NBA would want to start prior to then.
Well, yeah, it's that, and that's the problem. It's like, you're losing money anyways, and why is everything about this during this time? And we just talked about it on the open of the pod, man. It's like, people are being selfish about the situation for what? This? Like, money? Like, I don't understand that, dude. Like, that doesn't justify, and I get it. We all need to make money and have lives and have, you know, income, and businesses need to thrive and make, I get it. But like, in sports right now, to me, that shouldn't be the biggest thing. It shouldn't be. It should be health and safety. I mean, we saw it. We saw it in the MLB. We've seen it in these other sports. The NBA pulled it off really well. And now, to me, it's going to take, they're going to be taking a step back in terms of their protocol, the way they're doing things. They just up and just get things ripping.
Yeah. I mean, any format aside from the one they did will be more dangerous, but they don't want to do the whole thing in a bubble again. The players just did that. Players don't want to do that. So there will be some positive tests, I'm sure, just where the virus is. But you got to feel pretty comfortable if you're Adam Silver or someone in the NBA watching how the NFL season's going. It's just so many more people on the team, so many more people traveling. And what if they had like 3 postponed games or something like that, for the most part, pretty steady season, and the NBA will have way less people and probably be stricter with their protocols as they usually are. So you got to feel good about it if you're Adam Silver, that you could conduct a semi-normal out of bubble season.
I mean, I guess that's a good point, but I will also say this. I don't think it's been easy for the NFL. I think the NFL has kind of made it look easy. I think there's teams where you have some positive pop-ups this week. This obviously isn't just going to go away. And the competitive advantage thing for me comes into play where, right, yeah, so it's like Will Hernandez. Like, here's a good example. Giants aren't great, right? Like, not a great team, whatever. We've talked about it plenty of times. Don't need to talk about it. Will Hernandez, he's on our offensive line. Pretty good, decent offensive line player. Somebody we might need to have a good day on the offensive line. Okay, not a big deal to everybody. A fan like me, kind of bummed out, makes our chances going up against Brady on Monday Night Football even tougher. If Daniel tests positive, if Saquon Barkley, who didn't have a torn ACL, tests positive, then what's everybody saying? Like, it's the Trevor Lawrence argument for me, man. It's the NFL's been handling it because they haven't had big names test positive besides what? Cam Newton, and they flipped the game. And when teams are going to have that happen, they're obviously going to have to flip the games. So how many more games are they going to be able to flip? And don't tell me the NFL isn't worried about this, because with what's going on right now around the country, I would assume they definitely would be.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're having to flip one game a week, which this week there hasn't been one, luckily, which is surprising because cases around the country are higher than ever right now, and the NFL has had like a good 2 weeks with that, but that's beside the point. I don't know. I think they're probably feeling decent about it. Like, it's always a concern. They're not like, oh, this isn't a problem, we'll be good to go. But at this point, they've handled it pretty well, and that, like, they'll play games on some – like, wasn't there a – was there a Tuesday game? Am I wrong about that? Or a Friday game? There was a
game. They've done a Tuesday game. Yeah, you're talking about. Done a Tuesday game. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're willing to put games on days where they aren't normally there. I think they'll just find a way to reschedule the game. Like, yeah, if it happened in, you know, week 16, like, yeah, that would suck. You'd have to push something back or figure something out. But it would be worst case pushing back 1 week. I think all things considered, it's all going pretty smoothly for at least the NFL and. I don't know, all the pro sports leagues, honestly, not college, but all the pro ones.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you on that. College, definitely not. All right, I want to get a couple of your NFL picks in here before you go. Sure. And before we do that, how's your fantasy team?
I don't know. I had a brutal loss to Duke last week. In my school league, I'm like the second highest scoring team, but my team's still like 500 or something like that.
Listen,
like,
man, I don't give a fuck about your school league. League of Ordinary Gentlemen, how's your team looking? Good, bad, where we at?
We're looking like we'll probably have a tough week. I think I have to start Carlos Hyde at running back this week. I mean, Chris Carson's hurt, so it could be worse. Juju's had a decent week last week, but Juju's pretty questionable, but really don't have much of a choice other than start him and run him out there. So honestly, I just need the Buccaneers D to just keep putting up 20 plus a week, and they're playing the Giants this week, so very good chance Buccaneers D carries me again. and Pat Mahomes is playing the Jets, so I might just pick on the New York teams this week for my lineup to a win. But right. My team's been shaky there. I come and go as Derrick Henry come and goes. He should have a big week this week playing the Bengals.
Yeah, good. Yeah, no, a lot of good games on the slate. I want to get a couple of your picks in here. Couple big games for me this week, biggest on the slate, in my opinion, in the AFC. Obviously, you got the Steelers and Ravens, which were slated in after it was kind of all messed up. So they got that slated back in. Steelers, only undefeated team left in football, heading up against Lamar Jackson, coming off a bye. Little extra rest, time to prepare. Couple nice moves during this time. So what do you got in this game?
Didn't you also put the Ravens in your top five and not the Steelers?
I may have, yeah. I got the Ravens in this game. What do you got?
Okay. I'm going to go with the Steelers. I assume most people are. So you're taking you're going on the little bit riskier side, even though the Ravens are great. But Steelers for me is like the Ravens just played a really close game with the banged up Eagles, while the Steelers have looked dominant. Like, don't get me wrong, they let the Titans come back a little bit in that second half there. I'm not saying the Ravens can't win, but after watching the Ravens have a close win with the Eagles, I feel more comfortable betting Steelers.
All right, respectable. I just think I was on the money with the undefeateds losing last week. I think I'm going to be on the money this week. Only reason, just because tough draw for the Steelers in terms of schedule, and then the bye for the Ravens. They add a few pieces during the bye.
Sure.
Not sure if Dez Bryant, who was added to the practice squad, Ravens practice squad, is going to play. But I think Lamar Jackson has the potential to have a good game. And
did he get picked up in fantasy? I don't want him. I'm just curious.
He did at one point by Sean, but I think he's on the market right now. All right, yeah, a couple
I
other.
Mean, I don't think he's going to be a viable fantasy guy. I was just curious.
You got the Steelers?
Yeah, I got the Steelers.
All right, so my second biggest game in the AFC is Patriots at Buffalo. And to me, this is the Patriots lose this game. Everyone will then be on my take, which is the Patriots are done. Everyone's kind of talking about it already. There's a lot of reports out there about them shopping players, about Cam Newton and his struggles and what's going on with Bill and his general manager role and them flaking and all the things. This is stuff I saw coming. And this right here is the game for the Buffalo Bills to finally prove that they're here to compete for a division with the Dolphins right there in Tua time. We'll get into that in a second because I didn't get your take on that last time you were here. What do you got in this game, man? Bills, Patriots, I think this is a do-or-die game for Pats Nation this week.
Yeah, I would not bet my own money on it, but I'm going to go with the Patriots. They got embarrassed last week while the Jets looked – or the Bills looked pretty bad against the Jets. They won, but you got to imagine that performance against almost any other team is getting you a loss last week. They just happened to be playing the Jets. So I'm going to go with the Pats just off the – no real logic behind this, but the revenge narrative. Like, Cam Newton played bad and got benched. If he plays really bad again, like, I don't think they're in a rush to start Stidham or anything, but I don't know. If Cam Newton's stinking it up and can't complete a pass, then at some point he's going to lose his job.
He's so I imagine great.
He comes out motivated, Belichick too. So I'll go with the Patriots. I don't feel safe about it.
You know, here's my thing. I think people are being tough on Cam. The dude's coming off COVID, and then he had no practice, missing the game. I get it. But I think I kind of projected that just Cam was just going to be that kind of guy. And with Julian Edelman not playing this week, he had a knee procedure, not sure how long he's not going to be out. There's not a lot of weapons for this team. And them trying to run the ball to beat the Buffalo Bills, I'm just not so sure it's going to work. Because I think the Bills have a chance to just, manpower them, meet them power for power up front with, you got 9 defensive players out on the New England Patriots due to opt out before the season even started. With all the injuries and Julian Edelman out, yeah, Cam Newton's going to need to carry this team for a win. I'm just not so sure he's going to be able to do it with the lack of weapons surrounding this man.
Yeah, I don't feel safe about it at all. Kind of forgot Edelman wasn't going to be there. I did see that this morning.
You're chopping the takes. Here's another good one. We're going to get into this. Tua. Yep. We're getting into the same division. Tua time. Tua's starting. Everyone's kind of like, including my brother. By the way, Joe Burrow, I was certainly wrong about him. He looks like he has a chance to be the real deal if the Bengals can put anything around him and have a defense. Justin Herbert, I wasn't wrong about him. I was right on the money with this guy. He's the real deal. I love him a lot. But my original take was Tua was going to be the best in this draft. And my original take was that Tua was going to be the best lefty quarterback we've ever seen all time. And I'm still going to stick with that take because I think Tua has the chance to be great as a lefty quarterback in the NFL. Despite his size, despite his injury. I will say, starting up against Aaron Donald and the Rams, maybe a little bit tough, and that's going to be the noise, the knock. But as much as it pains me to say this, I think the Rams, even in a division where they're combined 19-8, those teams in that division, you got 3 teams with 5 wins. 19-8. No!
Got booted there. I don't know what happened.
3 teams combined at 19-8. Like that is the best division in football. And this is going to be a big game for the Rams to stay in competition with that division. So, I think this is going to be a tough one for Tua, but for some reason I want to take Tua. For some reason I think Tua has the chance to be really good out of nowhere and keep the Dolphins in the division, cuz why else would Brian Flores make this move? It's going to be a knock if he comes in and doesn't really play well and the Dolphins kind of fall back with everything that happened with Fitzpatrick. They might not win this game. I'm picking them to win this game. I don't know why. I really don't want to have to do this. But I am. I'm going to pick the Dolphins to upset the Rams. I think it would be technically an upset. I don't know the spread on this, but I got the Dolphins in this game.
I think that would definitely be an upset. I'll take the Rams, but, I mean, that's not going out on a limb or anything. That's just their defense looked really good against the Bears the other night. Granted, that was the Bears, but, I mean, say what you will about Nick Foles. He's a Super Bowl-winning quarterback. Tua's in his first start. ever in the NFL after coming off some injuries. So I don't, it's tough. It would be incredible. Like, the hype around this dude is going to be unreal Monday morning if they win this game. Like, there, people are going to be gassing him up, and maybe rightfully so. Like, the kid could be great. I don't watch much college football. Like, I've seen some of his games because he plays in big bowl games, but, like, I haven't seen too much of him, so I have no idea. But I would just – nothing against him. Would never bet on any rookie quarterback going against a good defense like an Aaron Darnold or something. And it's – I hope he plays well too, because it's going to be questioned a lot if he doesn't. Like, the Dolphins were in – not in position, but in a position to potentially win the division. Like, they aren't the favorites, but the Patriots aren't looking good. The Bills have had some tough losses. Fitzpatrick –
yeah, they're still really right there. In Tua time, yo – I think this dude's got a chance to be the real deal. And with all these other quarterbacks playing well in the draft coming out as well, I think it's going to be tough if he comes out and doesn't play well. So I don't think Tua's going to let me down. I really don't.
I saw something saying that's why they felt the pressure to play him.
Yeah.
Herbert and Joe Burrow just playing so well. Yeah. And I'm just kind of being like, and I get it in the sense that, like, I feel like I wouldn't have made the move if I was a GM, but I do get it in the sense of, like, your ceiling with Ryan Fitzpatrick is like a maybe one round win in the playoffs. Like, you know what Ryan Fitzpatrick is. He'll, like, come out there, maybe have some tough games, blow off some other weeks, and, like, get you some good wins. But, like, you're not going to be, like, a powerhouse team with Ryan Fitzpatrick. So,
yep,
I get
moving
on. It's just kind of like, after being so bad for a while and you have, like, you're having your best season and you just pull it away from the dude, like, I feel bad for Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'd like to see him, I don't know, Cowboys or some team go get Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like, the dude is having a great year. He should be a starting quarterback.
No, I agree. Let's see. Let me get in two more before we go, which is here's a good one. You got the Vegas Raiders or you got the Cleveland Browns this week? At the Browns, Vegas at the Browns. Big time game for both teams. What do you got? OBJ torn ACL, oh. Baker Mayfield, 5 touchdowns last week. What do you got?
So I think it's gonna be a low scoring game. This is one of the first in my DraftKings, the game I was targeting a lot because it had a really high total, but then it's come out the last few days, it's probably going to have like 25-mile-an-hour winds there. So it's probably going to be a low-scoring game. They both have good running backs, probably going to be a lot of running. Kareem Hunt, Josh Jacobs. I'll probably go the Browns. That just serves what they do more. I mean, granted, Nick Chubb's out, but they're like a short passes running team and have been a little bit better this year. So I'll take the Browns, but I don't feel confident in it. I think I like the Raiders a little more, so I wouldn't mind seeing the Raiders win, but I guess I'll pick the Browns. Don't feel super confident.
That's a tough one for me because I did have the Browns making the playoffs, and I did have the Vegas Raiders as another team kind of up there sniding in that conference. But I think this week, Baker Mayfield with the wind obviously won't be able to hum it for 5 touchdowns, and I do think the Browns have a solid run attack, but I think Vegas Raiders have that as well, and I think it's going to be a hard-fought, pound-for-pound type of game that I think Gruden's coaching staff and team has a chance to kind of come out on top. I'm going to take the Raiders this week in that game. Tough game, though. I think close game, tough game. Another close, tough game, I think, in that division that we talked about being a combined 19-8. Shout out the NFC East. Those teams would be winning the division if they were in the NFC East by 3 games. That's outrageous. San Fran at Seattle. Seattle coming off a tough loss up against Arizona, something I had picked last week. I think this is going to be a really tough game for Seattle, but I also think that Seattle needs to come out and make another statement because I think now people are kind of falling off that bandwagon again, and Russell Wilson MVP landslide is kind of sliding, and I'm not so sure if they lose this game, they would be even talked about even being able to win this division with how competitive I've already talked about with the Rams being at 5-2 as well and the Niners coming back to life with all types of injuries all over the joint. And I think Seattle's got to win this game to really make a statement and win this division and do what I said, which is going to be able to come out of this NFC conference potentially. With the Bucs playing this nice, I really need Seattle to do something, so I'm taking Seattle this week, but I think it could also have the potential to be a very tough division fought game where who knows what could happen. What do you got?
I'd take the Seahawks, and I'd feel pretty good about it. I don't know. I just look at it in the sense that San Francisco is like on the 3 running backs deep right now. Mostert and I'm blanking on the other guy's name, their backup back that had a huge week last week. Not McKinnon, but someone else. Anyway, two of their main running backs are hurt. Debo Samuel is hurt right now. And they just already aren't a great offensive team. Like, see, Seahawks are weak on defense. So if Jimmy G wants to come out and have a great game and George Kittle is going to have like a 3-touchdown game, then I mean, sure, they can win. But I just think even though they have a good defense, I'll trust Russ and the Seahawks offense to be the best unit on the field.
Okay, so good take there. Liking that game pick this week. Before you go, you're obviously going to pick the Chiefs over the Jets, correct?
Yeah, the spread's, I think, 19 or 20.
Here's the thing. I got a good Seggy stat for you on this one. So the spread is 19 and a half. In the NFL, there, I believe, has been, the stat was 9 spreads above 19 points. Now, 8 of those teams have gone on to cover the spread. Only one hasn't, 80%. Chance they're going to cover it. All of them have covered and won the game. None of the underdogs have ever won the game. So I ask you, are you going to go with the analytics on this one? Do you think the Chiefs can cover this spread? It's 19.5 points. The numbers in the NFL tell you that 80% of those teams are still going to cover that spread. So the Jets are going to still only lose by 19.5. You think the Chiefs are going to win by more than 19.5 points this week?
That's tough. I mean, yes. The only thing, and I think this is the same for anyone, this isn't a hot take. The only thing that would change my mind isn't like, oh, the Jets might have a good game. Like, no, that's not what I'm thinking. It's like, oh, the Chiefs might just totally take their foot off the gas and like maybe the Jets get like a garbage time touchdown or something. Like, that's what would make it like a 16-point game, maybe, in my opinion.
Yep. But
I like the Chiefs to cover. If I had to pick a score, like something in the high 20s to like 6 or like 7. I don't know.
Chiefs covering. I like it. That's a bold take though, because that doesn't happen too often where you got an NFL team beat a team by over 19.5 points against the spread.
I'd imagine that's one of the highest spreads ever. Just
I think that's the take.
So high this year.
I think that's a take I have as well, even though it's not the most popular. I think I'm willing to take the or give the points to the Jets, and I'll take the Chiefs. And I still think they can pull it off. Wild with how bad the Jets are.
Yeah, that is crazy.
And Le'Veon Bell going up against the Jets, what I think is pretty interesting as well. I think he might have a good game.
Are you starting CEH this week, or are you benching him again?
I have to start him. Antonio Gibson's on a bye. But I'd probably have to start him anyway. My team sucks. I don't even want to talk about it. Just get out of here. I fucking hate you.
That's why they got DraftKings. I need to make my FanDuel lineup for our contest.
Yeah,
week.
Don't worry, I'm winning the fuckery again this week. No problem.
Hey, I won the 2 weeks in a row right before you joined, and was getting hate messages from Smikes about it.
Yeah, well now I'm coming in hot out of nowhere. I'm about to take it over, and everyone's gonna be really pissed.
I got fucked last week. Had DK Metcalf instead of Lockett, and took Davante Adams out at the last minute, and both of them were the highest two receivers on the slate.
Horrible.
But, hey, that's how it goes.
All right, man. I'll try and link up with you, I don't know, hopefully soon. Enjoy your weekend.
Yeah, we'll do. I'll talk to you. I'll be around this weekend.
All right, peace, kid.
Peace, man.
Let's get these reads in. Get a few of these Seggy takes in. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back. Seggy Station is brought to you by Callie's Love. A man's best friend is his dog. Shelter rescue mutt to many, but a life-saving companion to me. To me, enough to promote true home happiness in a household. Better love a companion of a pet. Get yourself a loyal pet friend like mine at your local animal shelter, pound, or nursery. Save their life and they just might save yours. Now it's time for your Sports Center update. Tony La Russa. Hired as the White Sox new manager, 76-year-old, has not managed in the big leagues over the past 9 years. He was the manager for the White Sox, let go back in the year 1986. Now 2020, he's back with the squad. Talked about a little bit with Rich, Patriots wide receiver Julian Edelman expected to miss, quote, some period of time, including this Sunday versus the Bills, big time game for Pats Nation this week. NFL COVID news, Texans closed facility after a positive test. They are on their bye week. Giants talked about guard Will Hernandez. Chargers also had a guard and Ryan Gray test positive. One player on those teams, no reports of any positive tests on the Giants. Monday Night Football still on. Michael Thomas returns to practice Thursday. Gardner Minshew, thumb damage in his ligament thumb damage in his thumb, expected to miss some time after the bye. Raptors, Terrence Davis has been charged with 7 counts, including assault, harassment, endangering the welfare of a child, and criminal mischief. Jags running back Raquel Armstead expected to miss the rest of the season after being hospitalized twice with COVID-19 complications. OBJ talked about his confirmed torn ACL. He obviously will miss the remainder of the season. As Coastal Carolina, shout out Coastal, baby. They are ranked in the top 25. They're currently 20. First time since entering the FBS in 2017 that Coastal's been ranked in the standings. ESPN cancels 8 Orlando-based scheduled basketball events, as I think you're going to see a lot more basketball canceled than announced already. Ron Rivera completes cancer treatment today. This 2 days ago. Did not miss a single game as he was coaching. Shout out to Ron Rivera. Fuck cancer. Ron Rivera, Washington football team, all the things he's done for them. It's pretty incredible to see what he's done. Dan Mullen says he will have enough players to play this week as Florida returns to practice. Team last played in practice on October 10th due to a COVID-19 outbreak after he said he wanted to pack the swamp. Cardinals running back Chase Edmonds will take over for the next few weeks as Kenyon Drake is expected to miss at least a few weeks after what is being called a high ankle sprain, a slight tear in his ankle. Khabib Nurmagomedov, he defeated Justin Gaethje this past weekend and then promptly retired, promising his mom that he would not fight anymore without his trainer, his father, who passed away earlier this year due to COVID complications. Sad to see what is going on with 2020. Current UFC lightweight champion has decided to retire, Khabib Nurmagomedov. Patrick Cantlay, he won the 2020 Zozo Championship. Tiger, 22 shots back, man. Masters just 13 days away. Hoping Tiger can play a little better than that. As Jaylen Waddle, Bama wide receiver, injured on the opening kickoff, he will miss the rest of the season as he was a top 12 projected pick. Bruce Arians believes Antonio Brown has matured. 1-year deal. Bucks expect you to make his debut potentially in Week 9. As the NFL has fined the Titans $350,000 for COVID protocol violations, any further transgressions will result in escalating discipline. Tuning back in, Nick Segling here, Seggy Station Podcast. Rich Hot Takes Letty was coming through today. That was pretty fire. I know my boy Duke, he's down in great state of Virginia, living it up down there in his move last week. Pretty sure it went well. Didn't hear anything about it not going well, so hope he's doing well. I know Chew has some fiery takes to bring in on the World Series, and we'll save some of that discussion for when he can make it back for the podcast. Did have a few solo rips I needed to get in before I get out of here. Just got to take my break quick. Be right back. All right, I'm going to rip through some of my solo game picks. And I got to definitely touch on the Cowboys. The Cowboys, already talked about how they've been screwed. Shout out to my boy Dukes. Looking like the Eagles are going to walk away with this division pretty handily after. Yeah, of course I want to pick the Giants this week. They're going up against the Tampa Bay Bucs and Tom Brady. I fucking hate him. I hate Brady more than anything. Hate the Bucs and what they're doing. They're looking great. I still don't think they're going to win a Super Bowl. I still don't think Brady has what it takes to perform when he's going to have to perform under the bright lights, even though obviously he's done it plenty of times. I'm just not bought in on it. I'm just not. I heard Max Kellerman talk about how Tom Brady, he was wrong about him falling off a cliff. I don't think I've ever said Tom Brady has fallen off a cliff. But what I have said is that Tom Brady's numbers and his overall play has certainly declined over the past 2 or 3 years. And yeah, it looks a lot better now with all the weapons surrounding him. I mean, the Patriots and Bart Scott talking about Bill Belichick and how he should be fired as the general manager of the Patriots, I think that's a valid point. I mean, they haven't drafted a Pro Bowl player since 2013, the New England Patriots. and they always get rid of guys so early before they should, and not paying guys and not putting any guys around Tom Brady, getting him to want to stay, or even while he was there. They probably would have won more championships if they did what the Bucs are doing, which is surrounding him with unbelievable talent on the offensive side of the ball, not only in the backfield, but at the wide receiver position. And yeah, there's no excuses for him now. And yeah, they're going up against a Giants team that they should pretty handily beat. But I'm not going to be sold on ever picking against my team, even though we suck. 24-23 Giants. What's good? Sunday night, it'll come down to the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles. And obviously, after the Evan Ingram gift from the New York Giants to the Philadelphia Eagles last week, they're going to absolutely smoke the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday night. The spread's -9. Take the points. Eagles easily win this game by 2 touchdowns. Looking like the Cowboys are going to have to start Ben DiNucci. The franchise itself is in absolute shambles. Take a listen to my man Jerry Jones trying to say they don't have any leadership voids.
A local radio station, how he really feels about the Cowboys and all of their struggles. They have backed Mike McCarthy, but yesterday on 105.3 The Fan in his weekly appearance, about halfway through here, his frustration coming through.
Kayshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, 6 to 10, ESPN Radio, ESPN News, been a fire show. Getting a lot of content from there recently. Jerry Jones trying to say there's no leadership void. What would a leadership void be? Lack of experience, lack of talent? No, a leadership void is lack of leadership, which is what you have, not only from your players, lack of competitiveness and heart. They're soft, they don't support one another, and you have a lack of leadership all the way down from your situation up top down to the coach you decided to hire, which, in my opinion, was not a good hire. Mike McCarthy had Aaron Rodgers and didn't do as much, and certainly underachieved with a guy of Aaron Rodgers' stature, in my opinion. What's going on in Dallas is not good. You're going up against the Eagles team that all they got to do is take care of you, and they got to walk to win this division. They got to walk to win this division. The Philadelphia Eagles, they'll get back on track, they'll get healthier, and they'll be the first team to win back-to-back division titles in this division in about 15 years. No other bigger game than the game of the week for the Patriots. And everyone like Rich is going to not be sold on the Patriots until they sell completely. And this is the week where they will be sold completely. This is the week where they fall to 2-5, 3-plus games back in the division. Talks of shopping anyone and everyone. Talks of benching Cam Newton for Jared Stidham. And we all saw how he played in the game he was in. The Patriots just don't have a good roster. They don't have any talent on the offensive side of the ball in terms of weapons for Cam Newton. And Cam Newton is not even close to what Tom Brady was. And we all saw how Tom Brady was last year with the New England Patriots with the lack of weapons. Not good. The Patriots genuinely ran out of time when it come to Tom Brady being exceptionally good with no talent. You got to put talent around him to actually be able to do something. You're seeing that now with the Tampa Bay Bucs. But the Patriots, they just don't have enough. And the Bills have a chance to actually show that they're here for real and win a big-time game. And I get they didn't show up against the New York Jets in the week before that. They lose a game, and that's coming off of back-to-back losses for them. But they're still in control of this division, even with Tua coming in and the Dolphins at 3-3. Dolphins still behind the Buffalo Bills, and they have a chance to really take hold of this division, the AFC East, take it away from the New England Patriots, who've won this division for 11 straight years. And I've been saying it for, got to be at least 6 months now. They got no shot, the New England Patriots, to win this division. And it's not going to be 12 straight for them. I got the Bills in this game straight up. Bills, I think they're given 4 points. Lay the points. They'll win by a touchdown. Some other really good games this week. Indianapolis coming off the bye, taking on a Detroit team that was coming off of an unbelievable victory in the last second of the game by Matt Stafford to TJ Hockenson up against the Atlanta Falcons. We all know what happened with Todd Gurley. Colts were a team that I had winning a division, coming up out of nowhere, signing Phillip Rivers, making them a team that just needed a quarterback to kind of do anything, and he's kind of underperformed and played well before the bye week. Let's see how he does up against a team in the Detroit Lions that think they can compete. That's going to be a big-time game. I got to take the Colts in that one, even on the road, even on the Detroit Lions coming off a big-time victory. I think the Colts have a better defense, and I think Phillip Rivers is going to have to make the difference in that game for me. Packers, no doubt, I'm taking them over the Vikings. They've absolutely been struggling this year. Talked about the Miami game with Rich. A couple other games, got Jacksonville on a bye, I believe. New Orleans at Chicago. Bears, they stumbled last week against the Rams, something I predicted. Talked about the Bears having an 0-3 over the next three. Let's see if they can go 0-2. I got the Saints in this game. Michael Thomas returns to practice. We'll see if he's able to play in the game. But the Saints, even with everything going on with the Bucs, are still right there. Going to have a big-time game in Week 9 up against the Tampa Bay Bucs, who are going to be adding Antonio Brown. We're all going to have to see how that plays out. I think it has the chances to be really bad news for me. I think Antonio Brown is definitely going to help the Tampa Bay Bucs, but they're still not going to win a Super Bowl. And then probably the biggest game of the week, Pittsburgh, 6-0. Last undefeated, taking on the Ravens, and me and Rich talked about that one a little bit. I think this is a trap game for the Steelers, tough schedule surroundings in terms of the Ravens coming off a bye, extra time to prepare and rest. Steelers coming off of a 6-0 start, first time since 1979. We all saw what happened on the back end of the game with the Tennessee Titans. Big Ben kind of running out of steam, throwing three interceptions, still winning the game, which is very rare in the NFL. When you throw three interceptions, you rarely win in the NFL. We saw that with Russell Wilson on Monday night last week, I believe it was, or Sunday night, one of the two. And yeah, I think Big Ben's going to struggle against a Ravens defense that is good. I think Lamar Jackson's going to be Lamar Jackson. And if Dez Bryant gets on the field, I know Rich didn't really respond on it much. I don't think Dez Bryant's going to be the type of player that's like, oh shit, like, going to have to cop him in fantasy. But I do think Dez Bryant, if he can get on off the practice squad onto the active roster to get out there and get some type of action from Lamar Jackson, I think that's only going to help Hollywood Brown. I think that's going to only help Mark Andrews. And I think that's only going to help Lamar Jackson, who's been asking for weapons and more receivers since he's basically been there. And I know Dez Bryant has been out of the league for a little bit, but he's a veteran. Talked about it on my podcast going way back to before the start of the NFL season, where guys like Dez Bryant, Antonio Brown, Josh Gordon, particularly we're now talking at the wide receiver spot, where you're going to see a lot of guys getting looks, getting jobs because of everything going on with injuries and COVID. And here we are in the same week. AB signs a 1-year with the Bucs. Dez Bryant gets on the practice squad with the Baltimore Ravens. We'll see if these guys are able to impact. Obviously, teams competing in the playoffs, contending for playoff position, and what they can do this upcoming season, postseason, in the NFL. Definitely a good Week 8 slate for the NFL. Hopefully all the games tip off with no issues with COVID. That would certainly be ideal. And I think the NFL is doing a great job with everything happening with all these positive tests creeping up in terms of COVID for the NFL. There was a game last night. Falcons, they beat the Carolina Panthers. Bridgewater threw an interception inside the 10-yard line right at the end. Crushing my soul. Just fantasy has been killing me. Giants suck and all things aren't great, but sports have been popping off, and now that NBA is kind of trying to figure out their offseason and the World Series is over and there's tons of stuff to get into in terms of that, and I'm going to wait to do it with Chew, But there is just, I mean, I got way too much to get into when it comes to what happened in the World Series. Obviously, the Dodgers winning the World Series, and I think Mookie Betts should have been the MVP. It was Corey Seager who was the NLCS MVP, and, you know, there's tons of storylines to get into what was really a great World Series, but we're not talking about all the storylines that we should be. We're talking about a guy that tested positive mid-game and was then out on the field afterwards with his teammates celebrating without a mask on. And I think it brings up some very interesting talking points where things are at right now and where they're going to go from here. And I think that's what I always do say, but it's downright scary, in my opinion, to see what's going to happen, where we're going to be. And I think the only reason I say that is because I look at what's happening with college football and the positive tests and postponement and everything going on with them trying to cram in a season, the Big Ten, the Pac-12, the SEC, ACC was already going as planned, and it's not going how I assumed it would go, because what other reason would you start up? And I've talked about this in general when it comes to college and getting back to school and getting these kids back to school. It'd be one thing if they were doing it safe and if you had somebody in charge, a leader in charge that was providing a little bit more protocol and safety opportunities for these people. That's just not the case. And it's going to backfire for college football. And it would backfire for college basketball if they think they're going to get anything smooth and running come this winter time. I mean, it's not even November 1st yet. Got Halloween tomorrow. I'm sure you're going to have tons of people going out trick-or-treating. Not that you can't trick-or-treat, but probably doing things that you're not supposed to do. And that continues to be the trend. People just doing things they're not supposed to be doing. Not really taking the proper precautions and being safe about it. And round and round we go. You know? And it only is highlighted now. With the NBA being out on an off-season, talks of when they're going to start their season, really up in the air, virtual draft, free agency. Yeah, there's stuff to talk about in the NBA, but it's not going to take over what's going on in the NFL or college football. World Series done. Yeah, I'll talk about what happened in the World Series with you. Baseball's not going to be around for what? Another 6 months? I don't know what the deal is with hockey. Not like I would watch it. Yeah, we got the Masters in 13 days. I'll catch that. The new schedule loop of golf will be going on, but football is going to be highlighted with all these positive tests, with how they're handling COVID protocols, with how they're handling postponement movement of games, and it's only going to be enhanced when it comes to the college rankings. Now you have Trevor Lawrence test positive, going to miss the game this week. It's only going to happen more. It's only going to shake up more big-time teams. Wait till it happens to Ohio State in the Big Ten. Wait till their quarterback or their star running back, whatever it is, can't play, and their coach starts bitching. You see what's happening with Wisconsin. With Wisconsin, no one's saying it because it's Wisconsin. People will be saying it if it's Trevor Lawrence and he's got to miss 1, 2, who knows, maybe more games. You don't know. He could test positive again. There could be an outbreak on Clemson now. You don't know. There's been outbreaks on all these teams where we've seen positive tests. Who knows, they're not going to be an outbreak on Clemson. They're going to have to cancel the game. There's games getting canceled, postponed, no contest, not rescheduled. It's going to affect win percentage. In already a flawed system, college football playoff committee, you're going to add this to that. It's absolutely asinine. I don't know how you could be a fan of this shit. College football fan. I really don't. The way they're handling it is just unbelievable. Some of the statements from these coaches, some of the rhetoric from people that are supporters of college football, like the stands getting filled and like, I don't know, I just don't get it, man. Like, you see what's happening in the NFL, they're dealing with it a little bit differently than college, and that's why they're going to prevail. It's not going to be because, oh, look, football, apple to apples. No, there's a lot more leadership across the NFL, regardless if you agree with it or not. There's absolutely none of that in the NCAA. And this COVID thing, man, is going to come to backfire. It is going to get worse before it gets better. And I'm genuinely just scared to see what's going to happen from here. I really am. I'm going to keep tuning into sports. I'll keep up with the news. I'll be back when I can with hopefully a couple of the boys. I'm just saying, man, be safe. Wash your hands. Keep your distance. It's the only thing you can do. I think people are just going to start having this no matter what. That's all I have for the airwaves today. Appreciate all listening as always. And as always, I still have no shame what I have to say. It's the man with a nickname. Till next time. Peace and love, everybody. Stay safe. You listen to Sega Station.